Afternoon, this is Archdeacon Steve West, the Parish Priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this 18th Sunday after Pentecost, proper 23, year C. The readings for today, Jeremiah 29, verse 1 and verses 4 to 7, Psalm 66, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 to 15, and the Gospel of Luke chapter 17, verses 1 to 19. Let us pray. The Lord is here and we will praise Him. The Lord is here and we will worship Him. The Lord is here and we will trust Him. The Lord is here and we will honor Him. The Lord is here and He has called us to give Him all the glory. Amen. His name is mighty and He is the Lord. His name is Creator and He makes all things new. His name is Sustainer and He holds us in the palm of His hand. His name is Savior, and He died in our place. His name is Forgiveness, and He can be trusted to heal and to bless. His name is Holy, and He is the one that we have come to worship. His name means He is worthy to receive all we have and all we are, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, though we often find the world to be a frightening place that drains our hope, stultifies our joy, and robs us of our peace, we rejoice in the promise that in the midst of the storm, everyone who stands close to You will find freedom and security, peace and protection. Lord, we have come to thank You for being present when we are tempted, strong enough to hold us up when we are falling, and loving enough to stand by us, forgiving us and helping us to begin again. We bring our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. The hymn, Immortal, Invisible.
great Father of glory, pure Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. All praise we would render, oh, help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light hideth thee. All praise we would render, oh, help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of light hideth thee.
We pray the collect for Papa 23, followed by our parish prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we pray that your grace will always precede and follow us, that we may continually be given to good works. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our parish prayer. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, The Goodness of God. The Goodness of God. John, in his first letter, affirms that God is love, and it is out of that love that the other attributes of God flow. One of the special attributes of God is goodness, that is, that which is kind, virtuous, demonstrating moral excellence. In God's love and goodness, God always does what is best for humankind. God entered into a covenant with the descendants of Abraham. I will be your God, and you will be my people. God's people were to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, a people set apart for God. They were given the land of Canaan to enable them to become a great nation and influence the neighboring nations to follow Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the true and living God. Israel failed to be truly God's people. Instead of worshiping Yahweh, the true and living God, they turned to the idol gods of their neighbors, gods who had eyes and could not see, ears and could not hear, a mouth and could not speak, and if they had to move, they had to be carried. In God's goodness, God sent the prophets to bring the word of God, the word from God, to the people of God. The people, for the most part, ignored the prophets. Some were persecuted, others were killed. God was patient with Israel. Because of their disobedience, the nation was split into two, the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. The northern kingdom of Israel was taken into exile by the Assyrian Empire. One would have thought that Judah would have learned from the faith of Israel and become faithful to God. This was not the case. The kingdom of Judah continued in their unfaithfulness. God, in God's goodness, sent the prophet Jeremiah, who for almost four decades warned the people that God would bring judgment upon Judah for its centuries of idolatry and injustice. The people of God were called not to have any other gods but Yahweh, and to love justice, a commitment to loving each other. Judah's punishment would come in the form of an invading Babylonian army, which would completely destroy Jerusalem and the temple, the place where God promised to dwell in the midst of God's people. They were taken into exile. The punishment did come. The Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar invaded Jerusalem twice, destroyed the city, and took its inhabitants into exile. Judah's punishment was severe. However, in God's goodness, the people of Judah, God's people, would not come to a complete end. After serving 70 years in exile, the people would be released from their captivity and allowed to return to the land of Judah. Jeremiah 25, verses 2 to 12. In captivity, God, in goodness, sends via Jeremiah a simple, straightforward message to God's people. The exiles are to make a life for themselves in Babylon, because after 70 years of punishment, they will be restored to their own land. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. Jeremiah 29, verses 4 to 7. God in goodness sets out before the people the fact that their time in exile would be long, at least two generations. However, God would not forsake them. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are complete will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future of hope. Jeremiah 29, verses 10 and 11. God in goodness would restore the people to Jerusalem. God's punishment is for their good, and after the punishment, they will be reconciled with God. They would be restored as a nation. God in goodness always desires what is best for God's people. God's goodness comes to its highest level in God's desire to save the world. John in his gospel affirms, "For God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son, so that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." John 3:16. God in goodness desires to save all of humankind. Paul in our epistle today reminds Timothy that salvation comes through Jesus Christ. Paul writes, Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. Paul assures Timothy of the goodness of God, which is expressed in the death and resurrection of Jesus. He writes, "The saying is sure, that if we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. We are assured of God's faithfulness even when we are faithless. We are reminded that our faith can bring healing and wholeness of body, mind, and spirit. In our gospel today from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19, Jesus expresses the goodness of God. 10 lepers who were socially and religiously quarantined from the community, for as long as their symptoms persisted, they were required to separate themselves from the rest of the society. These lepers called on Jesus to have mercy on them. As he entered a village, Luke writes, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Luke 17, verses 12 and 13. Jesus saw 10 human beings in distress. They had a disfiguring illness and were separated from their families. They were living an isolated and lonely life, even as they were together as a group. They called him by name. That means they must have heard about him. They called him Master, suggesting that they believed in him. Jesus responded by instructing them to go and show yourselves to the priests. Verse 14a. For it was the priests at that time who had the authority to examine lepers and to determine whether they had been cleansed of the disease and so able to return to Jewish society. As they went on their way, they were made clean. However, only one of the 10 returns to Jesus, praising God and giving thanks. He was a Samaritan. The Samaritan and the Jews were estranged for centuries. However, Jesus demonstrated that God's goodness is for all people, Jews and Gentiles alike. Salvation is available for all who believe. When we experience God's goodness in our lives, it is important that we recognize it and approach God with praise and thanksgiving. Even though we may not feel that we are worthy of God's goodness. God's goodness is expressed in God's word to us via the Bible. God can use anyone as God's messenger to help us to experience God's goodness. Let us be aware that God moves in mysterious ways, God's wonders to perform. When we are faced with the challenges of life, failure, illness, the loss of a loved one, to name a few, let us not despair. Let us not lose heart, but keep faith with God, for as the psalmist proclaims, "I am sure I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. As we keep faith with God, we will all experience God's goodness. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, you let your people rejoice in you. Jesus, Master, have mercy on your people and hear us as we call out to you. Pour upon your church the gift of faith that is hopeful and thankful. Give us grace to celebrate devotion, whatever guise or form it takes. Gracious Lord, let your people rejoice in you. Jesus, Master, give to those who direct public policy vision to seek beyond those with the highest profile to include those on the margins. Give to all your children the blessing of peace. Gracious Lord, let your people rejoice in you. Jesus, Master, you enable all people to be children of the same Heavenly Father. Remove the divisions of our making. Unite us as fellow citizens of your kingdom. May no one be disregarded as unclean or have their worth demeaned. Gracious Lord, let your people rejoice in you. Jesus, Master, be with all whose illness separates them from contact with others or isolates them through fear. Bring healing and wholeness by your grace and favor. Gracious Lord, let your people rejoice in you. Jesus, Master, you hold all souls in life. We bring to you all who have died. May we all obtain the salvation that is in you. Gracious Lord, let your people rejoice in you. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. The hymn, God Moves in a Mysterious Way.
Steps in mercy and rights upon
Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the costs, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service, O God, we pray that you will continue to make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Go out into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Never pay back wrong with wrong. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Love one another. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace, this day and always. Amen. And just to remind you that the COVID-19 virus is still with us, so we pray that you will strive to be safe. Remember to wash your hands frequently with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Wear your mask, particularly in crowded places, and ensure that the mask covers your nose and mouth. And if possible, keep your distance. We pray that you will have a productive and spiritually rewarding